This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hey, it is Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. I am Matt Brown. That is Wes Reynolds and Kelly Bidlin as we come to you with a slew of outright placement markets and everything in between here for the Valero Texas Open. But before we get started, let me do an old FOMO tip of the cap here to my two co-hosts, as I did have a top 10 and I did have a top 20, but I didn't have the damn outright like you guys did. And Minwoo gets it done. Minwoo almost gets chased down. Holy cow, that thing got sweaty. I did not think it was going to get sweaty for you guys there on Sunday, but when it is all said and done, he does par the 18th. He holds on, doesn't have to go to a playoff. And you guys don't have to have the ultimate sweat, because that'd have been a rough playoff when you have the 4-stroke lead there on the back nine. So glad for you guys. Glad that y'all got that home, and chalk it on up to Minwoo getting it done for his first PGA Tour win, and maybe the first of many.
Yeah. Let's go. Wes, I'm going to jump in real quick because I'm going to forget a couple things if I don't mention them now. I should have pulled the audio. I'm an idiot. But I said it last week on the pod. I said, well, what's going to happen is either Davis Thompson or Minwoo Lee's going to win, and either me or Matt's going to feel really, really bad about it. So sorry, Matt. It's never great being on that end of it, but you still cashed some top 10s and top 20s. Scottie Scheffler continued to cost me money even when he doesn't win tournaments, because he crept so close I had to hedge a bit off. And I think for anybody who's listened to this podcast for however long you have, and thank you for listening to it as long as you have, if Gary Woodland, Scottie Scheffler, and Minwoo Lee would have ended up in a playoff, I don't know where I'd mentally be at today. That would have been very, very tough to handle if Gary Woodland won that tournament and I lost out because of it. So, Minwoo, thank you for getting my second outright home. It always, we talked about early in the season, it's nice to get that first early when you can. Get a couple at least in the bag before the Masters. You're feeling good. Load up with some money before you go into Masters week. Thank you, Minwoo Lee, for getting it done. Wes, what is it, number four for you on the season?
Yeah, number four. Let Minwoo cook, but he almost lit the kitchen on fire, as Matt was talking about. By the way, with five holes left to play, he was like minus 8,000 to win. And then he hits that tee shot in the water on 16, and it's like, okay. And he missed it badly, too. It wasn't one of those ones that's like, oh, he got a tough break. Like, he hit it way offline. And Scottie Scheffler and Gary Woodland, late rallies on the back nine, all of a sudden had a chance to win, settled for T2, 19 under. There were a couple other chasers. Sammy Valamaki shot a 62, finished fourth outright. Rory McIlroy made a little run. But I wondered what Minwoo, I got to give his caddy credit, who was Shane Lowry's old caddy. The name is escaping me right now, but he was on the bag for Shane at Royal Portrush. And Minwoo could have went sideways several times in that round. If you remember on number 8, where he hits it way far to the right, and he's on his knees like, oh, can I punch it out? He's like, dude, give me the club. Take the unplayable. And he eventually saved par. And also kept him calm with playing with that madman, Alejandro Tosti. He is an absolute crazy man out there.
It's Wes, he's fun for us to talk about and joke about. This is why we draw the comparisons to Nick Kyrgios in tennis, right? Because it's fun to watch and all the shenanigans and everything until your money's involved with it. And then you're like, all right, like, Toasty, get your act together here. I'm going to assume the broadcast didn't, like, carry on too much about it. I'm going to assume Ryan Fox at some point was the adult in the room and went over and said something to maybe even both of those guys, but that had to have been hard for him to watch, just period, from the veteran journeyman golfer out there, and then also with his countrymen.
Well, Bones McKay, who is, of course, Phil Mickelson's longtime caddy, who works on the NBC coverage, is one of the reporters, the on-course reporters with the final group. He was getting upset at Alejandro Tosti. I can't imagine how Bo Martin, by the way, that's the name of Shane Lowry's old caddy, who's now with Minwoo Lee, how upset they were getting. But Minwoo stayed calm. He didn't really show a lot of emotion and, you know, kept it together. And Kelly and I were joking about Kevin Kisner, who we both like, but, was in the booth. Like, I'd be surprised if he got this to the hole. So I'm thinking, if he gets it to within 5 feet, he got it to within like 5 inches. I was like, come on, Kiz, man. These are the best guys in the world, but Go ahead, Kelly.
It was back to back too, Wes. It was the on the approach. He's like, "Oh, this is looking damn good," and then it's over the green. And you're like, "Thanks, Kiss. Thanks for that tease." And then one other note on this one. I don't know how you guys feel, and Matt, maybe this is just getting burned by too many poker hands in my years and just sports bets. Oh boy, I don't know how much I loved Minwoo celebrating like he just won the Masters when he hadn't even tapped in his final.
Bo was already taking the flag off the stick.
That was a little much for me. I don't know about you, Wes, but I was not happy about that. Let's get the first W on the PGA Tour first, kid, and then maybe we can start.
But
you're
also your boy Kelly, Michael Kim, number 50 in the official world golf rankings, so he's got himself a trip to Augusta next week. Got it right on the number. Because I was watching that. Him and Ben Griffin were essentially going to be for the last spot. Ben Griffin, by the way, T18 in the tournament, number 51. So Griffin, like a lot of guys this week, got to win the Valero to get in.
So if we look here, guys, a couple of other takeaways, and then we can move on. One of which, Scottie Scheffler shot a 62 and a 63.
He's good.
In this, so I think we can officially say there's no struggles going on there with him. He is going to win at some point. Just we'll see when that is. But, yeah, Scottie Scheffler with all of that. Rory continues his really consistent play. Yeah, he went out and shot even par in round one, but then follows up with 66, 65, 64. So, again, about as consistent as we've seen Rory in about a decade. And then, Kelly, you did not have any regrets, and I think this is a lesson here. Now, we talked about the win equity for Minwoo, and it's a little different with him because he is still a rising star and on the up and up or whatever. But, you know, you were joking. Keith Mitchell, you look up. There he is, top of the leaderboard yet again. Keith Mitchell is a placement market guy. Keith Mitchell is not an outright guy. Like, this dude is going to have one round in which he blows up. It might not be Thursday. It might not be Friday. It might not be Saturday. It might not be – it's going to be one of the four. But – here we go again. He goes in on Sunday, shoots one over when everybody else is going low, and finishes T18. Look, he's a good golfer, but he's a placement market bet, right? I mean, like, his win equity right now, I think, is incredibly low because the dude just cannot close out four rounds. And so I think you felt weird about not playing him.
Yeah.
But I think in the end, it was a right decision.
I mean, he's one of those, though. I like the statistical profile always on Keith, and we talk about him a lot on this podcast, but it tells you that almost, right? Mm-hmm. He is a top. Well, I mean, where do we want to go, guys? Top 10 ball striker on the PGA Tour. I mean, when it comes to what he does off the tee, and on approach, like, he's right up there. But the putter's a mess. Like, he's putting one-handed, basically up there on every green. And it's a disaster. And around the green play's not all that much better. He's tough. I love him. And look, he cashed a lot of top 20 bets for me last year. And I won't be afraid to go back to him. But you're right, Matt. I think first-round leader, placement markets, that's the type of stuff you look at with him.
He just can't put four rounds together. He just can't do it. And that's okay, because we can still make money off of him. We just probably shouldn't be betting him.
Now, I did text you one thing during the first round, too, because I'm thinking ahead now to this week for the Valero. Maybe we should just punch in, like, Keith Mitchell and Ryan Gerard first-round leader bets now, because, like Ryan Gerard, I feel like every Thursday, I'm like, there he is again. Like, he's right up there.
Maybe a little foreshadowing here.
All right.
So, Wes, we've been talking a lot about San Antonio in the sports world because that's where the Final Four is. But, hey, there's another sporting event that's going on, and that is going to be the Valero Texas Open over there at TPC San Antonio. It is our final tournament before we head over to the Masters. And the guys that didn't play last week, which, again, wasn't very many of them, all pretty much are playing this week as we look down this odds board. I mean, Ludwig, Hideki, Fleetwood, Keegan. You got Cantlay and Spieth and Tom Kim and Finau and Burns and Akshay and Corey Connors. So a lot of guys getting in over there at San Antonio to get those final reps before we head over to Augusta. What are they going to be looking at there?
Yeah,
with
and
TPC
all
San
27
Antonio?
Players, by the way, who are in the field in the Masters next week are teeing it up this week at TPC San Antonio. However, if you look at a trend – 9 of the last 12 events played the week before the Masters were won by a player who was not in the Masters field. That included last year when Akshay Bhatia defeated Denny McCarthy in the playoff at the Bolero. Of the last 13 winners here, 6 won their first PGA Tour event here. So that's something to keep in mind. That doesn't mean dismiss the class players that are in the Masters, but it's something for context, certainly, here at TPC San Antonio, which... the Oaks course is where they're going to play. There's two courses here. This is going to be played on the Oaks course, which was designed by Greg Norman. Sergio Garcia made a consultation on it. Par 72, 7438. Not a lot of change in the elevation, but it is the third highest on tour, which I thought was interesting here for a pretty flat course. 1,100 feet of elevation. It is rye fescue fairways, mostly overseeded rye, mainly on the tighter side. There are some wider fairways, and then there are some, very narrow fairways on here, average about 28 yards. Big greens, 6,400 square feet. Bermuda overseeded with POA, 12 on the stint, pretty average. Not a lot of bunkers here, but the ones around the green are actually pretty deep. So we'll get into that when we talk about, you know, what we looked at this week from a modeling standpoint. Not very thick rough, about 2.25, non-penal. So really what determines the scoring here a lot of the times is the wind. If it blows very hard, you could see single digits under par win this thing. If it doesn't, it's 20 under, like last year, what Akshay had as his winning score. Only 3 water hazards on the layout, but it still played relatively difficult scoring average. I think it was like 7th most out of 51 courses last year on the PGA Tour. The par 5s are relatively long here. I think there's a couple of them over 600 yards and then one just right under 600. So they're not necessarily gimme birdies, I would say. So looking at the weather, they look pretty calm in the morning. In the afternoon, it's going to be, you know, so there is a little bit of a bias. If you're playing first round leader, you probably want that Thursday a.m. because that's when the wind's going to blow the least. It's going to be hot down there in San Antonio, too. High 80s, low 90s on Friday. Should get some rain on Friday and Saturday, about a 50% chance of rain. And then Sunday, really cool, like 66 degrees. So they get a cold front down there. Mentioned Akshay was the winner here last year at 20 under par, 55-1. You have seen some bombs, by the way, win here. Corey Connors, remember when he was a Monday qualifier in 2019, he's actually won this won since in 2023. He was 200-1. Andrew Landry won it at 200-1. Steven Bowditch, if you remember that name, won it at 350. Ben Curtis at 150. So you've had some bombs win here. J.J. Spahn 3 years ago, 150-1. So don't be afraid to play some guys down the board this week with these guys scrambling to get that last spot at Augusta.
Yeah, Saturday, Sunday, looking like it could be pretty windy out there. I'm really enjoying the streak we're having on the Windfinder targeted ads for Kelly Bidlin, because some guy just tweeted at me a couple days ago, Matt, your little laptop setup, I've never once Googled it, and it is sure enough right there, that little triple screen thing. It is amazing how this stuff happens. I never once even Googled the thing, and it pops up there, so that's creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it is... It is one of those things where, I mean, you know, our phones are listening to us for sure.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, speaking of sponsors, what are you sipping on energy drink wise? We really got to get Matt and I are quite the connoisseurs of energy drinks, so we should get
this
one.
This is where I'm going is a Las Vegas local Ghost. I'm going with Ghost. I don't know if you saw this, Kelly.
No.
They are founded here in Las Vegas and ended up getting acquired for $1 billion.
That's not bad.
Yeah, about 3 months ago. So good on those guys. There's a guy, I will not say his name because I don't know if he's fully out of depression yet, who was friends with the guys who started this and asked him if he wanted to invest for $15,000 into the company. And he said,
boy,
you guys are going to take on Monster and Red Bull and all this. He's like, yeah, no, I'll go ahead and pass. And they just got acquired for $1 billion. So fun story for me to tell, not a fun
and
story
that's how
for
they
tell,
can afford
you know?
To sponsor the Crown tournament that is currently going on at the MGM Grand. Yes.
So sponsorship money to burn. That's
just
what I'm
absolutely
hearing.
Wild. Wes, you talk about those par fives, and yeah, I mean, we have the We have multiple different par fives that are over 600 yards. Actually, three of the four are over 600 yards. One is 559, and while they do play very slightly under par, it is the hardest quartet of par fives on the entire PGA Tour, and mainly on the 18th, which could be very interesting should this thing come down to a few guys going at it, because it is a par five, but it's a 606-yard par five, and it plays uphill. And so if it's Rory versus somebody who's not long, like, I'm going to be dumping money on Rory or whatever, you know, like if it's like some long guy, you know, or whatever, like we did the time before, I'm just going to be dumping money on the guy that's like, you know, hitting it 320 off of the tee or something to get that done. One other thing I think with this that we can come into from our handicap is just from what I have read. I am not a resident of Texas, nor am I a resident of San Antonio, but I guess it has been unusually hot there and dry there, which should make this course a little bit tougher, a little bit harder, a little bit firmer. And so on a course where the greens are already a little bit tough to hold, maybe we see even more that are not holding there on these greens. But again, this is all just hearsay from stuff that I'm, you know, reading online. Yeah. And stuff about all of this. I haven't had anyone, no boots on the ground yet, to tell me whether it is actually really firm there on the course. Kelly, pop quiz. What is the second most populous city in Texas?
That would be one, San Antonio.
Were you blown away when you read that?
I read that same stat this week, and yes, I was blown away, and yes, I was already planning on bringing it up on this pod. How is it not Dallas and Houston?
So somebody said on it was on the broadcasters,
Dallas has to be one,
on the
right?
On the final four, right? And no, it's Houston. And so somebody said on the broadcast, it like heading to the final four, and they were like, yeah, heading to Texas, second most populous city, and I'm like, that idiot.
Yeah,
I'm like, he misspoke. And it's like, no, it is, because you
is
don't
it Dallas
get,
Fort Worth. You get the
yeah. You don't get all yeah. of the cities around yeah. Dallas. If
okay.
it was, if you got all the cities around Dallas, then Dallas would be the biggest, because you don't get Arlington and Plano and Fort Worth and whatever and all those that all have like right at a million people and all of that. But like they're all just their own entity, so you don't get the suburbs there of Dallas. Like Dallas proper is the third most populous city, and I guess San Antonio proper is actually the second most populous city. And Wes, I'm like, I've heard it a couple of times and I read it. I still had to go and officially mm-hmm. Google it to have the Google machine tell me that it was actually the truth. Cause I'm like, there's no way San Antonio has more people than Dallas. And then I realized like, okay, the technicality is
that's
all
what it
the
is,
cities
yeah.
around Dallas live as their own city.
Yeah.
As opposed
because
to, like,
Fort
being
Worth,
Cali-
Arlington and Plano are like top 10 in yeah. The top 10 cities. I think Austin's like number four. So yeah, because the Metroplex, if you've ever been there, and I think we all have, is massive. Yeah. It is a massive yeah. area.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and it's, this is where, when people ask about TV ratings and stuff like that too. So like Dallas is a top five television market because it includes yeah. all of that. It's the yeah. Dallas Fort Worth area. So it is much larger than Houston or and way bigger than San Antonio. So, okay, that's interesting. I learned something. Fun yeah, fact, I was born in Plano, too. That's another fun fact.
Kelly yeah. was born in Plano. He mm-hmm. went from there to Russia, and he went from there to Sweden, and then from Sweden over to Austria, and
actually,
then
if
Austria
you'd like
the back
order,
to Florida, Florida back to Germany. And
if you like the order real quick, it goes Plano, Texas, Anchorage, Alaska, Los Angeles, California, Moscow, Russia, Caracas, Venezuela, several places in Florida, and then Las Vegas.
There you go. Caracas, Venezuela. Caracas, the capital of Venezuela.
Correct.
Yes.
Also the biggest city. Yes,
the capital there of Venezuela. Okay, guys, let's get to what we're looking at here on this course. And if you've listened to any other content so far, you are probably well aware that this is kind of a weird course. There's not a favored type of golfer here, really. So I'm really curious as to how you guys went after this, because I'll admit this one was a little wonky for me as I went in and tried to build something here as to what was important. So Wes, how did you go about it? Because again, it's not bombers, it's not accuracy guys, it's not like pinpoint guys. There's really no kind of like breed of golfer that has really come out of here that we're looking at.
I think what I love about Houston, you know, and I'm like, hey, I can hit this every year now that I got two in a row is more than a coincidence. It's now a streak at Houston, but it's because it's simple. Driver putter, and I'll credit Matt Gannon of the Sports Gambling Podcast. I was on his golf pod last week, and he used that term when we were going over guys like Minwoo Lee. Good driver, good putter. You know, guys that can bomb it. So that's pretty simple. San Antonio, like you mentioned, not that easy. Because if I look at the different type of players that have won here, you had Akshay last year, you had Corey Connors, you had Spawn, you had Spieth, Kevin Chappell, Charlie Hoffman. Most of these guys, some longer than others, most of these guys are approach guys. I think kind of lean on approach. And if you look at four of the last six Valero Texas Opens, the winner was number one in the field for strokes gained approach. So approach is a lot more important this week than I think it was last week at Memorial Park in Houston. So I use that. I didn't go that deep in the proximity. You could probably go with some of the wedge areas, but I went with approach. And then I lean a little more toward accuracy here, but I don't think accuracy or distance, if you look at the previous winners, has mattered all that much. But I think he had to incorporate something off the tee. So I did good drives gained. Mm-hmm. I thought good drives gained, maybe even total driving if you want to go that route. I think at least gives you kind of a holistic view of how players are hitting the ball off the tee. Did do scrambling because hitting the greens, not a gimme here due to the runoff areas and the collection areas in the green. So you are going to have to scramble for pars here. I did sand saves, which we don't do a lot necessarily. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of bunkers on the course, but you're going to find them due to the winds. And they're really deep, especially around the green. So I think you had to look at sand saves this week. I did a little bit of putting because six of the last 14 winners were inside the top 10 in strokes gained putting the year that they won. So I thought it was worth examining, but these greens, they have some contours to them as well. It's POA overseed over the Champion Bermuda, so I did kind of some general putting because I only like to do the specific when I know what the surface is, when there's not an overseed. Like, I'll do POA for Torrey Pines, or I'll do POA for Pebble Beach. Mm-hmm. When it's POA here, I don't necessarily want to just do the POA because that's giving you that California POA, and that kind of throws it off a little bit, so I do a little general putting. Bogey avoidance and some birdie or better here because the greens with the slopes are going to affect the approach probably more than the actual putting, so it could be a little bit difficult to manage. And then what we mentioned earlier, par fives, I think you definitely have to look at strokes gained par five or par five performance, whichever metric you want to use. So I use that, and that was about it for this week. Not as cut and dry, I think, as what we saw with Houston, where it's like, okay, strokes gained off the tee, distance, and putting. You know, it was basically in a little bit of around the green, and that was it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And Kelly, as we look, you know, I mean, this is like just a very weird stat profile for this course.
Yes.
If you look, so the missed fairway penalty.
It's great. This
on
is great.
Six of the holes is basically neutral. On one of the holes, which is one of the par fives, it actually is better. It's better than hitting the fairway. It literally is not a penalty at all on one of the holes. And like the worst hole for missed fairway penalty is still only a third of a stroke. And like, so it's just one of those courses where it's so weird that it doesn't correlate to like the bomb and gouge technique, but it also isn't penal if you don't hit the fairway. So again, it's just very confusing as to what to do here.
Yeah. I should have written down the numbers, but it was the birdie percentage from the fairway versus the rough just overall, and it was like a 1% or 2% difference or something. Yeah. Like, that is just an absurd thing that we never see. You guys broke it down well. I, Wes, I definitely narrowed in on approach, but, you know, we like to sprinkle in a lot of different kind of approach stats as well. I think you got to be a little careful with that here. Like you said, I did add a little bit with just wedges and shorter stuff. I did add that a little bit to look at, but you got to keep in mind, as Matt mentioned, the long par fives, you're going to have some long iron hits here as well. So there wasn't, you know, besides those wedge proximities, really nothing else that I really looked at there, but still heavy approach overall for me. And then you guys kind of hit on it. I went a little bit heavier on distance over accuracy. However, it, I think both are important this week. Yes, you got to be solid, and just strokes gained off the tee overall, I think, is one thing you need to be looking at this week. But distance, really the tiebreaker for that. There for me was just the par 5 scoring. The par 5 scoring is going to be so important this week that any yard closer you can get on those par 5s, the better. So, yeah, big ones for me this week. I always kind of star the ones that I weigh heavier than kind of usual. And it was, look, just heavy basic strokes gained approach. And then driving distance and par 5s. Those were, and bogey avoidance. Those were the four biggest that I punched in this week. And, you know, I'll just go quickly through everything else. I mentioned off the tee, the wedge proximities. Look, I did opportunities gained. I did a little basic just greens and regulation too, which I don't usually punch in that often into my modeling. But without kind of some of those distance ranges, I wanted to hit those. So the par 5s I mentioned, then Wes, you brought it up, around the green, sand saves, and then scrambling and bogey avoidance, I think are all fairly important this week. You're going to have some more elevated greens. These balls are going to run off, especially if it's dried out like you're talking about, Matt. And if we get high winds and no rain, these greens are just going to continue to dry out even more. So I think it is something you got to look at this week. But, yeah, definitely it's one of those courses where you want to say, yeah, every club in the bag is going to matter, and I think that's true. And that's why I factored in more just tee to green than I usually do in my model this far along in the season, because I don't really care how you get there as long as you get there. I think you have to use every club in the bag, but it's still approach is a more heavy approach course. I'm going to lean heavier on those stats.
Yeah, it is super interesting to me how the models spit out stuff as well. I did a lot of the stuff that you guys did, some scrambling, par five, you know, I didn't know what to do with the driving stuff. I didn't do anything off the tee. I just kind of went like good drive and then a tiny bit of like total driving, just so maybe I can see if there is anybody that is a little bit longer and more accurate, then maybe that's a tiebreaker for me in all of this. But full on, I will say, I don't think I have the best read of this tournament. Like I'm looking at, especially now, the confusion that I got when the model spit out the different guys, and I'm kind of like, well, that's not how I thought this was going to like look, you know? And so that's the other thing that has me confused, you know?
Well, then I think you can also just go back to some of the past winners that Wes just went through, right? Where it's like, I mean, man, how much money, I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for you. How much money have I personally burned on Corey Connors and JJ Spahn at other courses over the years? They haven't done anything, and you know, Corey Connors has won here twice. JJ Spahn's won here, so yeah, it's like I do think it's a tougher event. And you know what? I feel like I do this reminder before a lot of majors. Guess what, guys? If you're betting golf every week like we are, it's never a bad time the week before a major to dial back how much money you're betting, because you know you're going to want to bet a little bit more next week than you probably do every other week out of there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there for sure. So, I mean, you know, I can only imagine, guys, as we plug in the stuff and things get spit out here to us, if we look at the odds board, and Kelly, I know you had it popped up a little bit earlier, but you can, you know, guys, Ludwig is sitting in that 12-ish range. Of course, as always, we'll say shop around, but for these purposes, especially if you're watching on the video side of things, this is on DraftKings. 12-1 on Ludwig, 16 on Connors, 16 on Fleetwood, 18 on Cantlay. Spieth and Hideki are both at 20. Keegan's at 22. Akshay's at 25. Denny McCarthy's at 28. Berger is at 30, and everybody else is 35 or longer here in this one, including some names, again, that you've heard us bet over the course of, you know, this podcast. Siwoo's in there. Finau is in there. Tom Kim is in there. Sam Burns is in there. So these are all guys. Of course, Kelly Bidlin's Gary Woodland falls into that category as well, a little bit further down the odds board. So all
Wes,
guys that we have bet over the years.
Siwoo Kim, who has to win this week, I believe, right, to get into the Masters?
Let me double check. I believe he is not in the field as of next week. I'm looking at my list right now. So, yeah, Tom Kim is in next week, but not yet Siwoo. But 27 players of the 147, because a few guys dropped out, like Michael Kim. Now that I'm already in the Masters, why did I need to grind when I've been playing like every single week?
Yeah,
that's what you're going to notice, too, with a lot of these guys this week. that it's like, oh, man, they got to win here. Some of these dudes have not taken a week off at all. Like somebody, I think it was Ben Griffin, I want to say, and I'm double-checking here as we speak, I want to say that he's played like 10 weeks in a row. He hasn't taken a week off. And this goes all the way back by 12 week. This goes all the way back to the Sony Open. He has not taken a week off. So, you know, some of these guys, you do wonder if they perhaps are running out of gas a little bit here, that have played all these weeks in a row and trying to get in and grind into that Masters. Now, you don't want to overrate that necessarily, but yeah, these guys. Some of these guys have been playing a lot of golf. The Andrew Novaks and the Harry Halls and the Eric Coles, all these guys trying to scramble in here over the last week.
Yeah, it is. And one thing maybe to keep in mind, too, and like this isn't to say that any of these dudes are going to intentionally doing that, but any of these dudes that are in the Masters, if they're three off the cut line, like, they're going to punt it off. They're going to punt it off, and they're going to get on a plane and head over to Augusta. So another thing to kind of keep in mind. If they have a particularly bad round one, maybe a target in the round two head-to-head markets and stuff and things like that, because there's no reason to hang around here. If you're going to miss the cut anyway, you know, there's like no reason to grind and all there and shit like that. If you're going to miss the cut anyway, just get on the plane and head over to Augusta and get prepared for over there. So something else to handicap when we do this. So I think we started with Wes last week, Kelly. So I will start with you this week. You have plugged in the numbers. You have put in your percentages. So where did you end up on your betting card?
All right, two outright bets for me. I thought it was going to be three. I really like Akshay this week. I already have a bet for him in the Masters next week. I can't bet him at these numbers. I was kind of shocked to see how short he was priced. And look, that might be a lot of sharp money for some sharp golf bettors out there that have come into the market here the past couple of days. But where his numbers gotten to, it's a little too short for me. And I actually think DraftKings, what is that, 25-1 there? I think that's one of the better ones I've seen. I don't know if I saw it 25-1 here in Vegas still. It kind of made the opposite of a price. We usually talk about price plays. This was a price cutoff for me. I'm not gonna go down that route with Akshay, but this is, I can't blame you if you do. He rated out very highly for me. I'm very high on him heading into next week. I already have a Masters bet on him I made a few weeks ago as more of a long shot for next week. So two outrights on the card. You've heard me bet these guys before. Keegan Bradley and Daniel Berger, come on down. I love Keeks this week. He is definitely one of my favorite plays this week. I played him outright. Both these outrights covered with the top five. I also played him in the top 20 market. He is, you know, as we've talked through the stats, I don't want to linger too heavily on this stuff, but, you know, 19th off the tee, 5th on approach, 13th on par 5, scoring 7th in sand saves. As you bring up, Wes, sand saves going to be coming to play here this week. That's over the last 16 rounds. T20 the players, T5 at the API. He's been playing good this year. Did finish here T8 in this event last year. So I'm very high on Keegan Bradley this week. He will be my one and done play. Also got a one and done win last week with Min Woo Lee.
Jeez, well done.
I've only started screwing that up. Yeah, that was nice. Okay, I'm gonna go Berger. I did bet just outright in top five. You know, I also played him in a matchup over Denny McCarthy at plus 117. I was just a little surprised on the pricing on the matchup for Berger. Berger, look, you know, Wes and I bet him a bunch in Florida. I wasn't just as far as he rated out on this field. I'm going back to him one more time. Wes, 18th tee to green to the field, 27th in bogey avoidance, 10th in scrambling. The putting and the round, the green play have been absolutely awesome for him here recently. So I'm going to try to ride that. T20 at the players, T15 at the API, T25 at the Cognizant. He's just put up steady, consistent, good finishes so far this year. So I'm going to go back to him this week. You're getting these guys in the 30s. I was able to get a 30 on Keegan, a 35. My mouse broke and I'm upset about 35 on Berger. So liked those numbers. Played him there. Okay, Keegan, is top two favorite golfer for me this week. My top golfer is Tommy Fleetwood. I'm just not betting Tommy Fleetwood outright. So I'd bet him in the top 10, top 20 market, and also top Englishman. That's where I scattered my Tommy Fleetwood bets. He's my top rated guy in the field this week. Last 16 rounds, 6th on approach, 12th on opportunities gain, 11th off the tee, 5th in total driving. His finishes this year, it's T20s all over the place. He had a T7 here last year in his only appearance. Love Fleetwood this week. Just not going to the outright market. Top 10, top 20s. And the top Englishman market, which I actually really like, plus 140 over at Caesars for anybody interested in that. One other top 10, a little bit of flyer. This is one of Matt Brown's guys. I feel like he's bet him the most this year. Old Bud Colley. I'm going to try to ride the Bud Colley top 10 train here. He's the past couple weeks, T4 to T6, plus 450 on a guy who rates out pretty highly for me. I'll dabble with a top 10 with Matt's Bud. This week. Okay, then one other guy in the top 20 market I did not mention yet. Again, top 20s on Fleetwood and Keegan already. I'm going back to him one more time, fellas. His game, I think, makes a lot of sense here. He's burned me the last 2 weeks, and I think he's become my most bet golfer this season. Alex Smalley. Going right back to it. The numbers are just still great of where he rates out model-wise. Everything he could do off the tee. The approach numbers haven't been as sharp recently. But, man, he's still a guy who rates out high for me every week. Two missed cuts in a row, kind of each week. You could point to one round or one part of one round that didn't go too well. So I played him in a top 20 plus 275, and then I played him in a tournament matchup over Andrew Novak at minus 105. And then one last tournament matchup I did not mention. Joel Damon at only minus 127 over Max Homa, which feels weird to say. But, man, Max Homa has been bad. And Joel Damon, we've talked about a couple times on this pod the past few weeks, has rated out pretty highly for all of us. Another week where he rates out my top 20.
Oh, my God. He's so far down my model, I didn't even know Max Homa was in the tournament.
Homa? Yeah,
He's so far down, I just literally sit here scrolling. I'm like, that's why I didn't even know he was in the tournament.
Yeah, if you told me a year ago I'd be laying 127 on Joel Damon in a matchup over Max Homa, I wouldn't have believed you, but that's where we're at with Homa's game right now. So I'm in on that. That's why my whole card.
I mean, that is unbelievable. I will go ahead and clear the field at least a little bit with two of mine, then we'll go to Wes. I also am playing Keegan and Berger. I kind of knew I was going to be on Berger. When I said the model was interesting to me, I didn't expect Keegan to be where Keegan is for me. And so Keegan, 6th overall in one version. He is 8th overall in another version, and then 6th overall in the other one as well. So inside the top 8 in all 3 versions of the model that I ran on Keegan. And so I dug in a little bit further, and I didn't really, because I was not expecting again to see Keegan's name there, but almost green across the board for all the stuff that I put in. Like, the only thing that is not green for him is good drive percentage, but it's not like he's horrible. He's 54th in the field for the time frame that I put in. So damn near green across the board for Keegan. And again, as high as 6th in most of the models there for me. So, I mean, the profile's pretty damn good for Keegan. And so I'm also on Keegan. I knew I was going to be on Berger. The way Berger's playing, everything's going on with him, like, I kind of figured I would. I didn't think that the number attached to him was indicative of how he's been playing. So did get in on him as well. So, Kelly, you and I are at least on both of those guys. Wes,
somewhat similar to you guys. By the way, this might be the first live event I bet this year, and I might have a couple picks up tomorrow at vsin.com/picks. They are at the Blue Monster down at Doral in Miami, so might put a little bit on Bryson at 11-1 or a Patrick Reed who has won here at Doral. I think he was somewhere in the 30-ish range, so probably just a couple for interest, but that's all for that. I don't think I'm going to write that up, but I may have a couple that I throw out there on the picks page. But go ahead and get the siren out, because Daniel Berger, 35-1 is the top on my card this week. 7 top 25s in his last 9 starts, so the guy's playing really consistent golf. Remember this time last year he was around 600 in the world golf rankings, and he's been on the comeback trail for like almost, you know, after he missed over a year and a half with the back injury. He's in the top 50, by the way. So he is in the Masters next week for the first time in 3 years. But I think, and that's not to say other guys aren't going to try or other guys aren't going to want to win, but I think that's his sole focus is on winning again. And I think he's going to take this really, really seriously.
Yes.
Maybe more than some of the other guys that are already in the field. He hadn't won in 4 years. And he's been very good. If you look in years past, when he was kind of a little bit more at his peak before the back injury, he's won twice before a major championship the week before. Both times in Memphis at the FedEx St. Jude Classic in 2016 and in 2017. He's also won in Texas, won Colonial. The COVID Charles Schwab Challenge back in 2020, was third at TPC Craig Ranch, two top fives at the Golf Club of Houston. So I mentioned Florida Daniel Berger, but Texas Daniel Berger, not necessarily so bad. So Daniel Berger at 35-1. There we go. There we go. Let's see if Danny B can get it home this week. I think he can, and I think he's going to be very, very motivated just to get that win. And the pressure of not having to win to get in the Masters, probably good for him, actually. So he was the only guy, though, that's in the Masters next week, that because usually you want to bet these guys a little bit mid-range or down the board that are fighting their you-know-whats off to get in. And one guy that Kelly had already mentioned, Bud Cauley, who, like Daniel Berger, missed time with injuries as well, and he's around 50-1 now. I got him slightly better, but 50-1 I still think worth it. He missed 3 years due to those medical complications due to a car accident that had happened 2 years prior, but full-time back on the tour last year. Well, that and the Corn Ferry, made 12 of 19 cuts. But if you look, because this guy was a can't-miss prospect. This guy was a number one world amateur at one point. So this guy was like can't-miss. He still doesn't have a PGA Tour win. Injuries have just taken their toll. But T6 at the Players, T4 at the Valspar. So coming in really well and just, you know, fit a lot of the stat categories. He's top 10 in approach. For this week, at least in this field, was up there in some of the green statistics as well. I believe sand saves, he was second, by the way, behind Matsuyama of any of the players in this field. So putting's been solid, top 20 in this field. So I think Bud Cauley is a guy that really could give it a go this week. Go ahead.
Let's go ahead and might just check off my whole damn list before it's all over with, because yes, I am also this week back on the Bud here. Third overall in one of my models and second overall in one of my models is Bud Cauley. And now, of course, you have to, it's a little bit smaller sample size on those models than the one that I ran with, like, kind of like the 50 round as the baseline, where he is not as high in there. But like the ones that are a little bit more close here, again, like I said, third overall and second overall in the model for me is Bud Cauley. And then Wes, to kind of pile on there about the kind of the prospect type stuff, obviously best friends with Justin Thomas. I was reading a thing that Justin Thomas said, and he goes, all right, Bud's starting to come around. He's like, this is the Bud that I remember, right? This is the Bud that I know. So he was even saying, like, I see it in his game. Like, I see it coming back around. And he's like, this is like the time where we're going to make sure that we're going to see that this guy is definitely a pedigreed golfer. So I'll ride the heater here as well, in a field where, like we said, I mean, there's not a lot, for him to overcome here at the very, very top. And so, yeah, I also am on Bud.
Yeah, Bud Cauley becoming a popular play, but I don't mind that because of what you said, Matt. He is coming into form and starting to show that. And, you know, you've seen these narrative stories here before, I think, at this event. And certainly Bud Cauley, I think, at least could somewhat fit into that. Another guy in the mid-50s, I took Sam Stevens at 55-1. Maybe he's a horse for course, considering runner-up here in 2023, 14th and 19th on two other appearances. Like, Connors is the ultimate guy, of course, because he's won here twice, but was runner-up to Harris English. Shout-out to him for his performance at the Farmers that got there for us, but he almost chased him down Sam Stevens out there in San Diego. T18 in Houston, he led the field for strokes gained around the green. So I had to go with one kind of course form guy. So I went with Sam Stevens there. Another guy who's battled injuries, not quite the years that he had to miss, that he had to miss, like Berger or Colley, but Lee Hodges, who did miss 6 weeks with a rib injury before he came back to Houston last week. He shot 9-under, actually, on the weekend and ended up T11 in the tournament. Two top tens in his last four events, two more at the end of the fall, I should say, and then two more top tens at the Sony and the Farmers. Fourth in total driving, sixth in strokes gained putting thus far this season. That's not even the field rankings. That's the overall tour rankings. And was six here in 2023, so Lee Hodges, 70-1. This was one that could be a boomer bust, but he did model out high, so I went ahead with him. Rico Hoey, 70-1.
Jesus Christ, y'all are going to knock off every one of my... I'm on Rico as well. We're going to knock off every one of these damn things.
I didn't get there, but yes, he was very, very, very highly rated. Yeah.
Best finish, by the way, of 2025 last week in Houston, where he was T11 and really had a good approach performance. We know how good he is off the tee. He is second for total driving on the tour. In total driving, like I said, in strokes gained off the tee, his approach game was probably the best it's been all year. Ninth for greens and regulation. So Rico Hoey, 70-1. And then the three longer ones, one that was already mentioned, his name, Ryan Gerard, 75-1. T9 last week in Houston, but he was second on approach. The irons have been peak all year. He's second or sixth in this field for strokes gained approach. Couple top 20s already this year in Mexico and at the Farmers. And then I did feel I needed one kind of like approach flusher, even though the form is not exactly great. Tom Hoge, who I was able to get at 100-1. There's some 80s, 85s out there now. T3 at the Players 3 weeks ago. He led the field on approach. He's typically always near the top on approach. Like, we always see those guys every week, right? Tom Hoge, Lucas Glover, like the same guys. But he's one of the best iron flushers out there, fifth in this field for the category. College golfer at TCU, so he's played a lot, probably everywhere in Texas. But two top 12s here and five career appearances for Tom Hoge. Couple bombs I did consider I didn't play. I might play placement markets. Mateo Montecero is a guy that actually kind of modeled out high for me. Remember, he was the low amateur, I believe, 15, 16 years ago at Augusta, and kind of fell off the grid and then won on the DP World Tour last year in South Africa for like the first time in 11 years. Earned his PGA Tour card, being in the top 10 of those standings. Considered him, but I went with another guy that's a longtime DP World Tour player. I went with Victor Perez at 125-1, 18th last week, but he started with the 66 and finished with the 65. Maybe carries that momentum over. Could be somebody you look for first round leader if he is in the morning groups. 18th, 22nd, and 18th in his last three events. So Victor Perez closes it out for me.
Victor Perez modeled very highly for me comparatively to his odds. 15th in one of mine. I looked at him pretty hard. 15th in one of mine, 24th in another, and then 21st in another. So again, when you're talking a guy modeling that high with odds that are connected at triple digits, it's certainly going to make me take another look. And I did look into him. So as we said, so between you two,
Matt?
Keegan Berger, Bud Cauley, Rico Hoey. The only other guy I played, I did play Gerard. Like, I mean, it's just he continues to model out ridiculously high for me.
Yeah.
I guess it's riding the heater. I don't know exactly what it is here with him, but I mean, in a tournament in which I'm a little unsure, at least a tad, of what's going on, if a dude is continually popping inside the top 12 for me and you're getting 80-1 on him, it's like, it's kind of like the same deal with Perez, right? I mean, it's why I looked into him as much as I did, because he's just he was finishing way, way higher in these models than the odds attached to him. So I'll ride Gerard here. But yeah, so Keegan Berger, Bud Cauley, Rico Hoey, Gerard for me in the top 20 market. Was pretty shocked to see you can get Patrick Cantlay at top in plus money in the top 20 market.
I considered him as well.
You can get a plus 105 on him. And Cantlay, I think, is the type of guy that is using this tournament to try and figure out where he's at with his game. And I think he's given this the old college go here. not been he's played much better of late, but that is after a horrid stretch, right? So I think you kind of want to keep all of that going. So I played a plus 105 on Cantlay, which is still available out there for that. Didn't play the outright on Lee Hodges there, Wes, but did play a 20 and a 30 on him, both of which are at plus money on Lee Hodges. Lee Hodges in one of the models was 10th for me. He was 13th in another and 7th in another one of the ones that I ran. So, yeah, Lee Hodges way, way up there for me. Didn't end up pulling the trigger on the outright. Hope I don't regret it, but I do have a 20 and a 20 and a 30 on him.
Yeah,
which I thought was, you know, really favorable numbers.
Lee Hodges, another Alabama guy like Bud Cauley. So let's see if a couple Roll Tides are battling down the stretch. Wouldn't surprise me.
I played the Woo for a top 20. The Woo is an interesting kind of thing here in
Siwoo.
Kelly, so Caesars has him at plus 180. Now, Caesars also dead heats, and so that is the only problem, but they have him at plus 180 in a top 20 market for the Woo. He's 160 at MGM. Pick your poison there, however you want to go about it. Of course, MGM, we talk about it, it does not dead heat, so it just pays ties in full. But
what was the price at MGM? I'm sorry, I missed
there's you. It's a 160, so there is a 20 okay. cent difference with the Woo, where normally there's about like a 10 cent, 12 cent, 8 cent difference, you know, sometimes whatever. But like, there's
I usually get greedy and look for like the 30, but yeah. Look, we've had some great people where I've seen some of the numbers on just that split and how often you're ending up in dead heats in the top 20 and top 10. And it's, it doesn't happen as much as it feels like it does. I know when you draw one of those and it feels like absolute shit because you're watching your bet get chopped down, but it doesn't happen as much as we all think it happens.
And outside of that, I have Henrik Norlander as a top 40 play. That is also plus money. This dude just rates out so friggin' well for me, like, all the time. And I'm not going to play him outright. Like, he's not going to win the tournament. But, like, dude, top 40,
every
still
week
plus
on
money on him.
Every week. By the way, he's number one in this field on approach.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, my last 16 rounds, how about this, guys? First on approach, 123rd off the tee, 127th around the green. But that's 21st overall from tee to green. Doesn't matter how you get there, just get there.
Yeah. So that's how I ended up there on that one. One thing I do want to point out that is just as we put up these odd screens and stuff, just so that if you guys are out there betting. So when we pull up that initial odd screen from DraftKings, you'll see. I just want to point out that there are two different versions of their placement market screens. If you pull up the just tournament lines page, and you'll see the top fives and top 10 markets on this page do pay out in full, right? You will see if you go to top finish, though, Kelly. So if you go to that, you'll see these markets do not pay out in full, and these prices are better, right? So just remember that if you go to tournament lines, you will get the ties pay out in full. It's just the number is a little bit lower. So you'll see right there, Kelly, you can see on the tournament lines, you'll see Ludwig top 10 is at 140. On this one,
I was gonna use Fleetwood, but okay, up 140.
Yeah. So he's 140 over here on the if you hit top finish, you'll see it's 160, right?
Yep.
And so that is the ones that does not pay out in full. So just again, if you care about that stuff, just know that there are two different markets that are available at DraftKings for the placement markets.
I guess top 30 and top 40, you don't got a choice.
Yes, you don't have a choice in top 30, top 40. But
that's good though. I mean, well, a lot of people for a long time, and I understand because I've voiced this a lot of times too. It was DraftKings add the including ties, right?
Yeah,
because they were a dead heat show.
I'm glad they give you a choice because it's one of those.
I didn't know they were doing that.
That's cool. If you care about it here, and if you don't care about it there, like we'll give you the two different prices, you know. And so, good on them for doing that. But I did want to point that out because that's relatively new out there for them as well. Guys, a reminder, everything we do, absolutely free here on this podcast, as well on the video version. If you're watching us over there on the YouTube page, appreciate that. Go ahead and subscribe to the channel for not only golf content, but all of the content that we do over at VSiN. Give us a thumbs up and then let us know. Kelly, you're going to make You're going to make comments available this week, right? Is that what we doing that?
You got it.
All right. So now you can comment. I know I've said it for the last few weeks and you weren't able to do it, but yes, now you can comment if you want to and let us know what you think about the stuff that we gave on here. And of course, on the audio side of things, please hit that subscribe button. If you want to rate and review, we do appreciate that as well. Helps us climb the charts and help more people find this here very podcast. Of course, we talked a little bit earlier about this being in San Antonio. The Final Four is coming up as well. No better time to go over and try out VSiN Pro. If you haven't done so already, VSiN.com/subscribe. It's only $9.99 for the first 30 days, and that will get you all of the Final Four content, as well as, yeah, you know what's coming up, the Masters. You're going to get the Masters content in there, and you're going to get maybe we'll have out the Kentucky Derby stuff by then. I don't know. I can't say for sure, but like maybe you catch the beginning of the Kentucky Derby content in your 30-day trial as well. So maybe
I'm telling Samich.
Yeah, maybe you can squeeze all. Yeah, maybe you can squeeze all of that in there if you take the next 30 days here for the month of April to come in and see what we got going on at VSiN.com. So VSiN.com/subscribe for all of that. For Wes, for Kelly, I am Matt. Good luck on all your Valero bets.